The Inquisition's Long Memory and Sexual Abuse in the Catholic Church. This week's piece offers a critical, evidence-based examination of the Catholic Church's handling of clergy sexual abuse, challenging the narrative that such abuse is a modern phenomenon. Drawing on newly digitized records from the Huntington Library's Mexican Inquisition papers, the article demonstrates that sexual abuse by clergy, including the solicitation of minors, was not only known but systematically documented and prosecuted by Catholic Church authorities as early as the 17th century. The article begins by critiquing the tendency of recent church leaders, notably Benedict XVI, to blame modernity, secularization, or changes in sexual education for the eruption of the sexual abuse crisis. Through a close reading of Benedict's public statements and policies, the author shows how these explanations serve as diversionary tactics, deflecting responsibility from the institution's long-standing awareness of the problem. Central to the argument is the availability of the Huntington Library's Mexican Inquisition files, which, thanks to recent digitization and the implementation of archive space, are now accessible to researchers and the public. These records include cases such as the trial of Fray Esteban Rodriguez for soliciting boys in the confessional between 1620 and 1639. The existence of such trials, preserved in official Catholic Church archives, provides compelling evidence that sexual abuse, codified at the time as solicitation, was a recognized and prosecuted offense within the Church's own judicial system. The piece situates these findings within a broader context, referencing similar cases from Inquisition archives in Spain, Peru, and other parts of Latin America. It highlights that solicitation was not an isolated or rare occurrence, but a recurring issue, often handled with secrecy, leniency, and a focus on protecting clerical prestige rather than victim welfare. The Church's institutional response included relocating accused priests, minimizing public scandal, and codifying offenses in ways that prioritized doctrinal purity over the protection of the vulnerable. The article underscores that the Church's knowledge of such abuses was not limited to local tribunals. The very office responsible for doctrinal enforcement, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, formerly the Inquisition, has maintained summaries of abuse cases for centuries. This continuity of record-keeping and institutional response undermines any claim that the crisis took the Church by surprise in the late 20th century. The piece also addresses the burdens placed on victims and lay people, who were often required to report abuses at great personal risk, and the spiritual and social costs of doing so. Despite these challenges, the records show that the faithful did fulfill their obligations, further disproving the notion that awareness or concern about abuse is a recent development. In conclusion, the piece argues that the historical record, now more accessible than ever, demonstrates that sexual abuse by clergy, including the solicitation of minors within the context of confession, has been a known and documented issue for the Catholic Church since at least the 1600s. The persistence of institutional denial, secrecy, and inadequate responses has led to a profound erosion of trust, making transparency and accountability essential for any meaningful resolution. There lies Pope Leo XIV's main challenge as his first year in office comes to an end. Will he mimic John Paul II's and Benedict XVI's take on blaming modernity, or will he follow Pope Francis's insight about clericalism as the Catholic Church's main target to address clergy sexual abuse?